That's my king.
Woo! Pastor Lockhart knows how to bring it, doesn't he? Come on, man. How many of you seen that video before in the past? That's an old, that's out of the 90s. Come on, y'all. Liz looked at me and she said, I'm digging this music. I like that. But I'm telling you, man, he brought the, I looked and that thing has been on YouTube long enough. It's got over 10 million hits, downloads, and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy. I was talking to Micah about my message this week and he said, man, I remember this video from years ago. I said, that's my key. It just had to be done today. Because here's the truth. That Friday was terrible for Jesus. We call it Good Friday, but it was not good for Jesus. Not only did he suffocate for 6 hours on a cross and bleed to death for you and me, he also had all the sins of all creation of all time poured on him in that moment, and for the first time in his life felt this separation from his Father, that he was so like, God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22 and verse 1. Some of you are in that place maybe in your life right now wondering, what in the world am I going to do about, and you fill in the blank. And we come to Jesus, and for, see, by the way, you haven't confused yourself. This is not Easter, but it's going to feel a whole lot like it today. I'm so appreciative of our worship team for bringing that song today, which literally was not planned. Chelsea put all that, she put those songs together and had no idea what I was going to speak on. And God put that together because I needed to hear that song today. That he is alive. He's alive because of what happened on Sunday. Friday was terrible, but Sunday's coming. That's another video you can look up sometimes and watch. You see, Sunday changed everything because Sunday proved resurrection a reality. Sunday was happening, and the disciples were told about it, and it was foretold and all those things. Jesus said it two or three times or several times probably. We don't have recorded even. He kept telling them, I've got to go away. I'm going to die, but I will come back. And the Bible says lots of times they just said, we don't know what he's talking about. And they didn't know what he was talking about. Early Sunday morning, after his crucifixion and burial, Jesus, some women came to visit the tomb of Jesus, and they walked there, and they saw that the stone had already been rolled away, and there was not a body in the tomb, and they got scared about that. They didn't know what to do. Angels showed up and said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? And said this, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said he would do. And they were both excited. You can read in the Word and kind of see this excited kind of fear in their eyes. Like, oh my God, what is happening here? What do we do? And he told them to go back to my disciples and tell them to go and to wait for me in Galilee. You can read about this particular version I'm talking about today from Matthew 28. And they did so with anticipation and confusion and even a mixture of belief and disbelief, because when Jesus did come and see them, Scripture says of some of the disciples, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Can you just take some comfort today that guys who walked around with Jesus for 3 years of their life, or whatever time, about 3 years of their life, walked around listening to him, saw him crucified, saw him raised up from the dead, having been with him for days, actually, we're going to see later on, prior to this happening, and still some doubted. So anytime in your mind you're going through life and you're going, I just don't know if this is real. I just don't understand if what I'm hearing or seeing or reading about in the Word is really real. Understand you got some pretty good company in that particular realm of your life. And I'm going to give you some answers to that today. But I want you to know that doubt drives you to belief. Faith doesn't mean you never doubt. It just means that through your doubt, you still serve the Lord. It's like taking a step at a time in molasses, in those dreams that you have where you're trying to get somewhere and you can't. Don't y'all know what I'm talking about? You go, I can't get there. I'm so slow. Sometimes life feels that way. And you don't know if God's around or if he's not. Well, let me tell you, he always is, okay? Let me just go ahead and proclaim to you that in the midst of the diagnosis, in the midst of the accident, in the midst of the pain, in the midst of your daughter having seizures, in the midst of on and on and on and on and on that we could list when we go, God, where are you in this? I don't get it. He's right there. He was with Elijah in the cave, and he was with his disciples as they walked. And when he left, he set them up for victory. See, you and I may be getting ahead of myself. I am. I got to stop right there. As he proved himself alive to them, Jesus began preparing them for what was to come next, a promise that would really clear up a lot of things. Really clear up a lot of things. It is called, in this message, the promised empowerment of Holy Spirit. You can read about it in Acts chapter 1. There's this time period between the time Jesus was resurrected until Pentecost, about 50 days, where the disciples were really kind of hanging out with him some and talking to him and so on. Scripture says it this way in Acts. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. Y'all remember Thomas? I'll not believe until I touch. I'll not believe until this. Thomas wasn't the only one doing that. In fact, one of the gospels says they all said the same thing. It's just hard to believe. You can't fathom. They're out fishing and they see this man walking on the seashore that's got a charcoal fire built and some fish cooking. It was Jesus. And he did part of that. Part of the reason he did all of that was to show them that a ghost wouldn't eat fish. I'm real. I came back fully alive from dead to life. He ate with them, taught with them, walked with them, commanded them. And he said to them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. They had heard it already. John the Baptist had said, there's going to be one coming after me who will baptize you with fire. And they didn't understand it, but they had heard those words and were trying to imbibe all of that and was about to experience it. And he says, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, he says. Don't leave. Stay. Go to Jerusalem. You're going to get the baptism of the Spirit. And even after all of that, in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, just a few verses later, they're standing on the mountain with him before he ascends. And it's like, okay, are we going to go kill the Romans now? And Jesus had to go something like, I don't know. He was Jesus resurrected. He was who he was. He could have said, what are you guys like? Are you blind? I've been teaching you this and telling you all this. We're not going to do this to the Romans. In fact, we're going to try to do everything we can to save them. They couldn't have understood it that way. But he told them this. He said, you will receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. If you see that as we see it here, it's like Athens and the, you know, maybe the city and then the county and then the country and then the world. This global mission hasn't stopped. And because of the power of Holy Spirit in them, this resurrected Lord that showed them by proof that he had been resurrected now gives them power to be able to understand and to move forward in power. You see, you and I are the recipients of that through hundreds, thousands of years of time. You can sing death will never hold me and all those things, like Micah said earlier. But imbibing that is sometimes we go, yeah, I believe it, but it's kind of hard to see because of this situation. Listen, we have to get those situations in proper perspective for what they are. We are not waiting for victory. We're walking in victory. Y'all like those statements, don't you? Some of you look at me like, I don't get this. I don't understand what he's saying. You know what? That's okay. There are people in this room probably, most certainly there are people outside of this room, who look at all that we're doing and they see it as a game, as something we're just kind of playing around with, hoping that one day when we die, we might go to heaven if it even exists. That's the way they see what we're doing. And you and I walk around with this assurance by faith. This assurance. It's more real than anything I can see, taste, touch, hear, sense in any way at all. What I'm going to receive in Christ fully after this life is great and wonderful, but let me share you a little secret. God doesn't want you to wait till you go there to receive all of it. Yeah, we're supposed to live in it, in the power now. And for those of us for years who denied it in our lives, and I'm not just talking about Holy Spirit himself. I'm talking about the ability to walk in the confidence we can have in faith. Because I know some of you still kind of have some of those leftover things inside of you where every now and then you just go, man, I'm just not good enough for God to save me. You just don't know what I did yesterday. You don't know what I thought last night. You don't know what we did on the way here this morning as we fought in front of our kids and we got here and go, good morning. I've lived that. You hadn't seen me over the last 3 days walking around going, I don't know what I'm going to do with this and that and the other thing and so on and whatever. And just frantic in my mind. Maybe it didn't come out that way because we can cover it pretty good. I cover it great with humor and other things. But the point is, my joy is sufficient. My joy is full. My confidence is in God. And there's nothing I can do to earn it, buy it, there's just nothing I can do. He did it all for me. And I want to live in that. But here's the fun thing. The story doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. His resurrection points us forward to one final victory. And the reason for ending this series today in this way, this series called Author Power, for those of you who are new, this is message 6. It's not out of 100, but it is message 6, and we're going to end the series today with Jesus' authority over death itself. Over death itself. Now, it is statistically true that people fear public speaking as a number one fear. This is one something that somebody somewhere did a study, and the last time I read that study, it said this. That could change. I don't know. But I've heard this. Statistically, public speaking. You know what number two is? Spiders. Spiders. I get some amen from somebody. Oh, I have some stories I could tell. I don't have time to tell. And you're going, oh, I'm thankful he can't tell that story again. Spiders. You know what number three is? Death. So people would rather die than to speak publicly or handle a spider. But ultimately, the reason the world lives like it does is they're trying to get it all in here because they have nowhere to go. And the reason the church is mocking them and doing exactly like the world is doing and is really no different from the world and what they're doing is because we see ourselves as going to heaven one day, and it's okay if we do what we want to here. And those two things are diametrically opposed to each other. Heaven is a prepared place for people who are ready to receive Jesus now. 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 And I'm sorry, a little bit. When you go from a traditional where everything is legalistic and so on to a tradition where most of the stuff is about grace and God's love, it's real easy to go, well, hey, man, if he loves me that much, then I'm going to enjoy this, this, and this. And it's hard for some of you to hear the word obey because obey is in the Bible. It's hard for you to hear that. Part of what we do for God is that what we show in our love for him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Get on the right side of the comma. Stay with the love, but don't forget the commands. Love people and do that. And the Holy Spirit comes in our life. He's actually here to make that good for us. Now, back to the topic. This last point here is this. Jesus' final authority over death. That is what we're going to end with today. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul gives this long discourse. It's like 58 verses in that chapter. In your English Bible. Well, Paul didn't have books and chapters and all that stuff and verses, but I can't read all of that. But just understand that he spends a lot of time saying to us that all we just sang about a little bit ago, death can never hold us. Death can never hold him, so it can't hold me. Death has no power over me. We proclaim it, and you've amen and clap the whole ideas about victory and all those things. He's saying, this is how important that is. It's so important that if that's not true, and it is, but just if it were not true, then everything we do is useless. That's the first part of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said, our preaching's in vain. Everything you've ever proclaimed for Jesus is in vain. Everything, it's all in vain if there is no resurrection, because that's the only thing that separates us from any other religion in the world. Not the only thing, there's lots of things, but that's the main thing that separates us between other religions in the world and what we believe. So Paul says this, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. This is in verse 51 out of a passage that's got 50 verses before that. So go back and read the whole thing and put this in its context. But I tried my best to put that in a little bit of a context for you. He says, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we all will be transformed. Now, that's saying not everybody's going to suffer physical death. If Jesus comes back right now, obviously we would not suffer that. I'm for that. Anybody else for that? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Somebody be like, I ain't raising my hand. Mm-mm. I ain't playing with that. I remember those preachers used to tell us, you know, they'd do that. Raise your hand if you're ready to see Jesus. And you thought we had a bus out front ready to go there, right, to see him. And that really is funny, but it's also very sad at the same time that we have so, it's so good for us here. And this is another message for another time. But sometimes we revel in the things that we have that the other parts of the world don't have, and that becomes our undoing. Too much stuff. But he says, let me reveal it. You're not all going to die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in a blink of an eye, and the last trumpet is blown. And when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to life forever, and we who are living also will also be transformed. And this is the point I want to get. For the dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. This body's dying. It's just going to do that. It is what it is. But we want to be transformed into bodies that won't, and our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies is transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. And before I read the fulfilling of the scripture, there's a world of theology in those three verses right there. Such a world of teaching that I cannot unpack today. But just understand this, that whatever's going to happen at the end when the Lord does come back and it's the final end and it's all said and done, the transforming of our physical bodies is one thing. But here's the cool thing for me is that the transforming of our spiritual selves is happening right now. The Holy Spirit has come into us to help transform what we're doing now, not what's going to happen then. The reason we need the incorruptible body is you're not going to live forever in this body. It ain't going to happen. As much as technology, and you can, and what I always say, you can fold it up and tuck it up and paint it up and fix it up, and it's going to die. It just is. But you don't have to die in here. How many people do you know who are fixing all this on the outside, and some of us who are not so well, have got it messed up on the inside so bad that if they had it all fixed up on the outside, it wouldn't do them any good? Y'all, we have the answer to that. We have the answer to that. Because he says, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? He goes on to say the sting of death is sin. I talked about that last week and how that sin does sting. Sin bites. Sin is not good. We make those choices and we hurt ourselves in all of that. But he says, death itself has no victory over us. And I don't know how to describe that to you. I don't look forward to death or how I'm going to die. In fact, the devil's been trying lately to put in my head visions of myself on my deathbed. Have you ever thought about that in your life? I guess preaching so long and seeing so many people die that like I have physically died, it's just easy for me to gravitate toward that. So this is what I'm going to look like. And it's hard sometimes to get that out of my head. I'm just being honest with you. But he's saying here that ultimately, no matter what that looks like, when that is done, it is done. And you don't have to do that again. Ever. Forever and ever. Ever in eternity. Plus some. Times 1,000. Plus 1,000,000. Times 4. You see what I'm saying? We'll just do like we do with my kids. But I love you infinity. Because it's coming. Man. And I talk about it like that. It's interesting how the inflection of my voice controls how you react to things. So I can get excited about that and scream it, and you guys be shouting so loud, you'll be screaming all these walls down, and I can come down like that, and you're just like, mmm. Because it's both a solemn thing and a victorious thing. It's a wonderful thing. You see, when it came time for Jesus to finally physically die on this earth, these guys struggled with it so bad that when it was time for him to go back to heaven, the Bible says they strained their eyes looking up. When our kids were little, they used to do balloon races. We'd go somewhere, and you know, remember we used to go places, they'd give you a balloon, a helium balloon. We had four kids, so driving around with four helium balloons was really hard. So to get rid of the balloons, instead of just saying, let the balloons go, we said, we're going to have balloon races. I know. They were kids, right? But it worked. And you get outside, they would let them go. We'd stand there and look. Oh, mine's ahead. Mine's ahead. Oh, no, I look at mine. Mine's going to hit me. And you go, I don't see mine anymore. Oh, okay, I guess mine won, it's gone, y'all's are still there. And that kind of thing. And the disciples watched Jesus ascend back into the heaven. Scripture says everybody squint your eye. Can't see it. They did not want, at the time, they didn't know they didn't want, but they did not want what he was offering, they thought, because they hadn't seen it yet. They couldn't imagine anything less than having Jesus right there with them to talk to and to have breakfast with and to walk with and to talk with and so on. And they strained watching it happen until the angels showed up. Why do you stand here gazing in the sky? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Now, if you read that theologically, you can have fun stuff with it, but read it normally, okay? It's like the angels are saying, okay, he's gone now. Let's get to work. Go. He's gone, so you go. Do what he said to do. And the power that they received, they could have never, ever imagined what it was going to be like. Never could have imagined it. And if you read in your Bibles, you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just move. Do it this way. Read Luke and then just go right to Acts and read when you, because he wrote both of them. And when you read Luke and you go right into Acts, you see this transition in their life where they go from, Lord, we don't want you to go anywhere. What are you going to do? I don't know what he's going to do. Peter, I'll die with you. And I don't even know who he is. And all the things that happened in their time, they went from that to saying, the same Jesus you crucified has now been made both Lord and Christ. You watch their transition in their teaching and preaching. And that's exactly what ought to happen to me and you whenever Holy Spirit comes into our lives, that we cannot but speak for our Lord, John told them. You stop talking about this Jesus. And he said, well, you can determine if that's good or bad, but we can't stop talking about it. And they preached themselves to death. Literally. Literally. Why? Why would they do such a thing? Because Jesus came out of the grave and they saw it. They received baptism of Holy Spirit, and that's what they preached. Go, teach, baptize, and teach. Go, teach, baptize, and teach. I'm writing a song right now, right? Go, teach, baptize, and teach. And you do that until I come back to get you one day. Oh, man. So while we wait, we go. You see, that's been handed down over the last 2,000 years or so, been handed down to us, and then time and time again, over time and time again, people have been telling their children that same story, and people have been telling their children, this is what we trust in, this is what we believe in, this is what we do, and it's proven, and we could go back through and prove all of it, but listen, you either like it or accept it or you don't. It's here. It's like a free gift that you can have, and it's up to you to take it, because Paul goes on. Here's Paul's conclusion about the whole resurrection thing. Because of all of that being true, because there's no sting to death, because there is no real death after this death, it's all life. Because of that, he said, be strong and immovable. That means no matter what comes, we speak the name of Jesus. No matter what, we speak Jesus' name in the world. And here's the thing. All the resistance is going to come at you. When you do this right, let me just say this as a matter of preaching. You've heard it preached, but I got to say this. If you're not being resisted in your faith by people, then you're probably not living that faith in front of those people. Because it's always going to smack at everything the world wants us to do. If people are not scratching their heads and looking at me and going, why don't you do this like everybody else? Or why are you doing that and nobody else does? There has to be some kind of evidence in my life. And I don't want to put us on a guilt trip about that, but I also don't want to let us off the hook. If someone walks up to you and threatens you with death, if you say, Lord Jesus, what's the answer going to be? Because the people that Paul was living in those days, that's exactly what was happening. And let me tell you, I subscribed to an email called the Voice of the Martyrs, and it's happening hundreds of thousands of times a day in our world. I need you up here, prayer team. Come on. So the question today is this. What do you do with that? Be strong, immovable. He says, always work enthusiastically. That's a made-up word, y'all. Enthusiasm. Y'all know what it is, but it's really hard to find it like in etymology of words. It's this idea of working with everything that we have for the Lord. Why? For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is in vain. And I just got to tell you, man, for the people who came with us at the beginning of this church and to see what God is doing amongst people, it is proof to me that no matter what comes our way, we are strong and immovable and we enthusiastically pursue the Lord. COVID tried to kill it and it couldn't. And that's not just our church, that's the church. I'm on a big C church. And there's nothing that can stand between what you want to do today and what God wants you to do today except you. I have done nothing today. We've done nothing today except preach to you and sing about the gospel of Christ. I'm sorry. I get emotional about it because I don't always. Not that you have to. Sometimes I just laugh and have joy about it. But some days it wrecks me to know how I live my life sometimes. And yet, he gave everything for us. I mean, the good news is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the news. I dare you, after we leave here today, to text somebody you know is far from Jesus and say, hey, can we have lunch this week? I've got some good news I need to tell you about. And sincerely meet with them and tell them about what God has done for you and in your life. You don't have to know Bible to do that. You just simply have to know your story. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, and now I see. I was far away from God as I could be, but he has brought me back to him, and I serve him enthusiastically. And I could point across this room to lots of people. There's probably a couple thousand in here today. That was funnier to me than y'all. But I could point to several of you who've walked that road just in this last year even, where you were there and now you are here and you live with confident hope. You live with a focused purpose. You live with full assurance of faith. And there's nothing ever in your lifetime that's ever going to be the same because Jesus came. Y'all stand with me. Because Jesus is alive, his authority is absolute, and it will always be. And today, I'm asking you to spend a couple more minutes here and come talk to somebody on our prayer team, either down here or some of them are in the back, and just say, hey, I need to pray over something. Some of you today need to, first time ever in your life, proclaim Jesus as Lord. You need to do that right now. You need to come do it. Some of you have done that in your lifetime. Some of you need water baptism today. That's a burying of the old to raise the new. And there's not a story in the book of Acts that you can read that doesn't count blue baptism in it. So take the step if you haven't. We can help you with that. Some of you have gone through all those things and you've just been living your life on your own and doing anything you want to do and really not even focusing your life on Jesus at all. And maybe not because you didn't want to, but just the busyness of life have crowded him out. Let me just suggest something to you. Why don't you put God on your schedule for a change instead of something else? Put an alarm out there that says it's time to pray. Do something. My alarms go off all day long because of my forgetfulness. We have to get ourselves in a forward focus because we serve a live Jesus, not a dead one. Thank you. So as I pray, I'm going to pray that we're going to worship. And during that worship time, you're going to have a few minutes to just come and make proclamation to somebody. Maybe there's a sin you need to confess. Maybe there's something you need to pray about relationships. I don't know what it is. If you need to come as a couple because you're doing great in your marriage, but there's some issues outside of that with each other, come on. Just please don't miss this opportunity to come. Lord Jesus, you have authority over death and over my life. And when every day seems like a Friday, Lord, full of chaos and confusion of my own doing, help me to live in the promise of Sunday's resurrection. Strong, confident in you, full of the Holy Spirit power and resurrection hope. In Jesus' name.
Breathing here in this place, speaking and healing your voice.
by faith. Come on, church, you believe that? You believe what you just sang? So much that people go, what do you have that I want to know what you have. Live it. Be able to tell somebody today. Do not forget those of you guys who are part of our church to give today. Legacy Sunday. I know God's going to do some amazing things. And so thank you for doing that. And we love you. We love you. You guys know where to give back there. It's a couple of boxes on the back. If you completed a connection card today in-house, would you just drop it in those little slot on that little black box back there, and we'll connect very, very soon, okay?